sends him over to the Red Rooster and makes the tag. I think he missed the boat there. Should have tagged the boss man.
Rooster ain't going to slam the Hillbilly, but Hillbilly's certainly going to slam him.
Oh, he planted him. He didn't just slam him. He drove him down into the canvas. Don't ask anybody, Hillbilly. Just do it. What a nice guy that Hillbilly is.
From Television City in Hollywood.
The following wrestling exhibition requires discretionary viewer participation. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another special edition of GFA Live. I am your host, Peter Whitson, and today we finally wrap up the 1988 World Wrestling Federation Survivor Series ding. I figured I would say things in a different order and just sort of mix it up for this one. I know that this was a little obnoxious to have a four-part podcast for a single pay-per-view that only has four matches. But as I've explained, I really did not want to miss anything. I did not want to have to rush over every minute detail that I could that I've picked up through nearly 35 years of watching this obsessively, despite the fact that I don't think I ever watched the show between like 2000 and 2014. But that's neither here nor there. So there's nobody I would rather have on this journey as we complete this 88 Survivor Series ding. The road will finally end today. My amigo, my compadre, my best friend in the whole world. I can't remember my freaking bits anymore. A man who has points of his own sitting up way up high, Mr. Keithy Langston. How are you?
I don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep because I miss you, babe. And I don't want to miss a thing on Survivor Series 88 ding. There it is.
Great, because you sang that Aerosmith song. We're going to get kicked off Spotify.
Oh, sorry. Well, I didn't sing a whole bunch, you know.
Well, you sounded exactly like
thank you.
Was it Steven Tyler? Yeah. I almost called him Steven Perry. Wrong band.
Steve Perry. Hey, you talking about points. Dude, I'm up like 300 and something bucks since like putting in bets on DraftKings, and I made a couple of last minute bets today.
Are we doing this from now on where is this a new segment like Keithy, the compulsive gambler, who used to only bet on Hogan over under.
I feel like,
yeah, and now you're just like Miyagi in the fucking ice breaking parlor, like looking for any sort of action you can get your hands on.
Well, I mean, the thing is I'm doing the bonus bets that they give you, so I'm not really spending any of my own money just yet. But I mean, I put in for, and I love the parlays. Like, I don't know, it's just the thing with the parlays is what gets me. So I did for.
I like that you said parlay instead of parlay, like you're fucking Gordon Solie over there. Oh, that's a nice soup play by Jack Briscoe.
A nice parlay. So tonight I did, it was two picks. It was the Knicks money line and then the Knicks over 222.5. So I'm hoping to get that. And then I did, this is a big one, big payout if this wins. It's the Rockets over the Grizzlies money line. And then I bet the over at 230.5. And that's a big payout if I win. And then I finally did a four teaser. A five teaser with Golden State and Dallas. And it's the Warriors. It's -1.5 is the spread. 15 points for Jordan Poole. Over 27.5 for Curry. Over five for Stephen Curry assists and over five for Draymond Green assists. And that one will pay out okay. But if I win all four of these bets, dude, forget about it. Like, my brother was already calling me the friggin' parlay whisperer. because I hit the two of the three last night, and I only missed one of them by the fourth leg. What are you doing?
I've heard that you're the Baron of Atlantic City these days. Yes.
But that was all right. There's one bet I have left that's a free bet, and it's the $200 bet, because if you signed somebody up, you got $200, and then I got a free $200 bet. But I'm like scared. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do with that. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, what do I do? I feel like I need to do another Pastrnak, you know, shots on goal. But I'm gonna have to keep an eye out on the shots on goal.
It all depends on how far you want to see things through. I mean, I did a lot of futures bets with the free stuff they're handing out. My $200 one expires next week, but I already know where it's going.
Where's it going?
It's going towards.
Is it gonna go to the Baltimore Bruins Orioles?
No, Baltimore Orioles over 79.5 wins. It's plus 145 on FanDuel. I'm fucking salivating over that, because everybody's like, they're due for a regression, blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, do you realize that they were an 89-win team the second Adley Rutschman got there? So even though they completely faded in September, and the manager was openly like throwing games that would be on Sundays by resting like five of his starters all at once because he was acting like a freaking idiot. They're not, especially since they're not going to play the Yankees, the Blue Jays, all those, you know, tough divisional teams as much. Yeah. So,
I did draft Adley Rutschman as my catcher.
Oh, man,
I took him kind of high. I took him kind of high.
I figured I don't need to know what state of mind you were in for the draft.
You don't want to know. let's just say, something was ingested.
we knew that something was wrong with Keithy when he spent his second round pick on Carlos Baerga.
No, it wasn't that bad. No, I took him. Although I took him in the sixth round. And a 12-team league, but I got a lot of great guys after that too. My team's actually not that bad, believe it or not. I'm impressed with my team. It's the team that my brother and I own together. This Saturday is the other one that I do where this is my own team. So, but you're the one who told me to take Adley Rutschman.
Yeah, I know that. No. I'm just joking. He lasted until the sixth round.
Yeah. Huh. And we were going to take, what's his name, too? The other kid. Who's the other kid that you like? The other kid for...
Oh, Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, we were going to take Gunnar Henderson.
Let's try to limit the Orioles talk here, especially since I can hear that fucking audio thing happening again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It wasn't as bad last time.
Oh. Fucking nauseating.
It was still bad, though, where, like, your audio would drop for, like, 0.8 seconds. And then you would come back for like 0.2 seconds, and then it would drop again for 0.3 seconds. Believe me, I've had enough. I've seen enough of this in front of me that I haven't fucking memorized. I rebooted my goddamn laptop, which has like a goddamn rattle now because I didn't install the bottom cover correctly. Like, I broke off a piece, and I don't feel like taking it apart again. So I'm gonna have a rattle on this.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
I think you set me off between that and your little screed against the office before we started rolling the show.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that I was going to really frost your cookies.
No, you don't. No, you didn't. You just, because you're my friend, my best friend, in fact.
Yes.
I jumped in and I talked about how much I fucking hated that show after Carell left. Like, I had an expectation for how bad it would be once Michael Scott disappeared from the scene, and they fucking cleared that bar with every Robert California appearance in season 8, to the point where I wish that they had just had O.J. Simpson as a guest star on season 8 to have him just fucking Ron Goldman that guy's ass.
Allegedly.
Oh. And then you could have had another court case, California versus O.J. Simpson. yet another. Let's run that play back.
I can't have that in this joint.
Good times.
As somebody who turns, as people who turned 16 years old in 1995, I can't properly put into word. Like, I work with a guy, I think it was born in 1997, and I've had to teach him, like, why the New York Jets are the most hilarious fucking franchise in football with all the shit that they do. Like, all that other stuff.
I always get a kick. I love talking to my nephew, because my nephew was born in 2008. So he has, like, no idea. Like, he's not even aware that, like, there was a world before 9/11. And, like, when I try to explain to him, like, yeah, you know how when you go to the airport and you have to take off your shoes and you have to stand in a line and have, like, this friggin' full body scan, and then they always go through people's bags, and then, you know, you get on the plane and it's just everything is all stressed out. And remember that? Yeah, that didn't happen on September 10th, 2001. It was like none of that happened.
Well, it was part of the problem. But anyway, so where we left off last time was Jake Roberts is making his way back to the dressing room.
Yes.
And he's very upset that he didn't somehow overcome 4/5 of the Minnesota Frenchies.
Can we just say this real quick? Like, meanwhile, back at the Survivor Series, back at the Richfield Coliseum.
Well, if I was still a creative man, I would have had you do that in, like, the Lord Alfred Hayes voice or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ah, shit.
That's not the drop. You actually just said, ah, shit. So. Now, Gorilla is going to throw it to another classic Survivor Series team pro. You know what? This is probably why I love Survivor Series team promos. I was introduced to it mainly. Yeah, I watched the TV during this time, but I remember every promo on this show like it's it's the freaking Constitution.
I was going to say, like, you went to Sunday school every week and watched Survivor Series 88. Dang.
Sunday school. We don't do that in the Catholic Church. We
catechism. We had to go to catechism.
No, we in the Catholic Church, we subject kids to much worse shit. But anyway. All right. So Gorilla's
yeah, right.
Gorilla's got to throw it to the heels. And we've seen plenty of promos with Boss Man, the Twin Towers, and DiBiase being the kind of de facto captain, spokesman guy. Slick, we've barely even heard from him, but we're going to hear from him here, and it's going to be fucking awesome. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Please, give me a break. Right now, we're going to take you to Mean Gene Okerlund, who's with the Big Boss Man, Akeem, and their team members.
All right, we are getting ready for the big main event here tonight of the Survivor Series.
What happened to Akeem's hat?
It's gone.
He's not wearing his hat.
It's gone. could do nothing about it.
It's my lucky hat. I won't fight in the Survivor Series without it.
He's gone. And we couldn't do nothing about it.
The best thing is I love that we don't even have a drop for a hat. We just say it.
Yeah.
He had to go all the way back to Rockaway. Okay. He left his lucky hat in Rockaway.
he was working the Coliseum that night. He knew a guy down there. All right, DiBiase in the green. This is when he switched over to the green around this time. Mm-hmm. My least favorite of the DiBiase suit colors by far. Haku's got a big smile on his face. I mean,
not wearing the crown, though.
Yeah, it's like only Slick is allowed to wear a hat. It's like he won a card game backstage. Is that right?
You've got your big band prepared for action tonight, Slick.
Nice. Exactly.
And there it is.
That I wore out my fucking VHS tape at that exact spot, rewinding a million times to hear Slick say exactly all over again. And then I would giggle like a fucking schoolgirl, is what I would do.
Meanwhile, other children were rewinding that one scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High and wore out the tape there. Pete wore out another tape. Exactly.
Look, are you asking, have I ever beat off to this particular promo while watching the Survivor Series 88 thing?
Yes.
I'm not going to say yes, and I'm not going to say no. All right? I'll just put it that way.
Oh, okay.
Believe me, the big hour is drawing near, and the brain and myself have spent a many an evening putting it together, brother.
I want to know what occurred in these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was definitely in a hotel room where, you know, they got one of those rooms with two easy chairs, or one of them is on like the sofa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're emptying the mini bar. They're eating the chips with the drinks, like they're just like that scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Well, we know that Heenan would empty the mini bar. Didn't like bottles of liquor fall out of his pocket when Gorilla threw him out of Raw time?
I think so. So, all right. So yeah. If it's the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles scene, who's in the bed and who's sitting on the chair? Like, whose room is it? I would say it's probably Slick's room because he probably paid for the room, and Heenan's in there just drinking all of his booze from the mini bar.
Yeah. Heenan's not the one paying for the room. I'm sorry. Heenan probably has his own room that was paid for by DiBiase, but then Heenan subletted it somebody else to make more money, and it's just going to stay in Slick's room.
Like Beefcake selling his comp tickets to WrestleMania 4.
That's right, yeah. Basically exactly that.
And we've come up with a system of elimination that will not be denied.
Look at that, man.
Thanksgiving? Who cares? The only thing I give thanks for is the size of my bank account. But you, Hercules, you are going to give thanks tonight because you are finally going to realize your position in life. That is that. Gentlemen, the caviar and champagne are on ice. We are going to celebrate right tonight.
I would like you to note that the Red Rooster is about as far away from DiBiase as he possibly could be.
Yeah.
And I think that was an edict handed down by somebody who was like, look, we don't give a shit if you teamed up in the UWF. We don't give a shit that you had a country whipping match against somebody called the Freebirds. I don't know. They worked here for a little bit, but Andre had them shit canned. We don't care. You stay the fuck away from Ted, okay? We don't need your Red Rooster cock stink getting all over our guy who can fucking be reheated in the main event.
Cock.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's a question. So they're clearly in front of a green screen. But it must be like a blue screen or something because DiBiase's jacket's showing up.
Yeah. I think that, I think that must be it because I thought, well, maybe because there's people behind him, but no, it still might produce like a weird effect.
Yeah.
Good call on that. Of course, on the Saturday night's main event, it was either October or November version. DiBiase had to have just this little fucking.
He goes shirtless.
He doesn't have the jacket. He has the white thing, but with no jacket. It's like reverse Ted.
He has the ascot.
He has the Ted DiBiase reverse retro jersey. Yes.
Reverse retro.
The Survivor Series of Kings.
Hey, brother, it's called Survivor Series. You looking at survivors.
My favorite part of that is definitely Akeem's laugh at the end. It's fucking infectious.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times I've just said out loud to myself, like I could be doing yard work or whatever, yo, brother, it's Cole's Survivor Series, and you're looking at survivors. I mean, this is a team. They uproariously laugh at each other's jokes.
Mm-hmm. They love each other.
Yes.
They need each other.
All right, very good. The Brain, Bobby Heenan. Well, I'll tell you something. I'm going to show you something that I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be showing proper respect to King Haku, and so is everybody else.
You're goddamn right, Bobby. I thought heels lie.
I am the king.
Nope. Well, he's telling the truth right now.
Sometimes sometimes heels are just right on the money. By the way, our audio is not really quite synced up with the video. It's like a half second off. It's noticeable, but I've decided I really don't give a shit.
All right. Well, okay then.
All right. Can the Red Rooster talk?
Can I talk? Yes, I can talk. And what?
Can I talk?
Unfortunately for all of us.
No, talking.
Yeah.
Can I talk? Yes, but no one wants you to.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Wait, do you see me wrestle? Brain, I won't let you down.
You never have yet.
All right.
All right. So they have a very positive relationship, and I just want to call that out before we get into the match. because we know what's going to happen with Rooster and Heenan. And it's very strange considering that, you know, what we have right here. And I'm sorry, I actually interrupted the one true king right as he was about to right as he was saying his thing. And I have to say I apologize for that a thousand times.
First of all, how dare you?
I know. You want to hear Taylor again?
No.
All right.
Now we're all bow for the king.
I like how he's not even going to fucking wait for the microphone to be in his face.
He's just basically just shouting out lines like, I have lines and I will read them now.
He's like a quarterback at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. He's not doing the Omaha. He's basically Omaha. He's reading the, he's telling the offensive lineman what the protection scheme is for this play. But he's just doing it in Tongan.
In Tongan. All right, in Tongan?
Do you realize that, I mean, Boss Man's up next. Yeah, Virgil doesn't talk, ever.
Virgil's the one guy that didn't talk on this entire team. Like,
yeah,
they didn't even Virgil, let him say anything like, I got your back, Ted. Nothing.
For years and years, and I know that he said stuff in the 87 vignettes when Ted was being introduced. Mm-hmm. Like, he yelled at the kids at the pool or whatever to get the hell out of there.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I start watching early 88, and I'm like, this dude doesn't talk, and I want to know what his voice sounds like. I was obsessed with knowing what Virgil's voice would sound like.
Does Virgil not really talk later, until, like, 91?
He may have said a thing here or there in 89 or 90. I'm trying to remember, but, yeah, you don't really hear from him at all.
He said, ow. He said that a couple times.
He did. It made Virgil having matches very difficult because he wouldn't call any spots in the ring because
no.
I don't want to talk.
I can't let up that gimmick, man. I can't say anything.
Yeah, Ted turned on the no talking sign.
No talking.
That's right.
I don't get a chance to play that enough, do I?
We played it a couple times.
Finally, Big Boss Man, possibly tonight you could be right across from none other than Hulk Hogan.
First of all, the Big Boss Man.
Boss Man's a little too excitable. He sounds like me on the last podcast that we did. Well, first of all,
let me tell you something, Gene.
Dino Bravo is going to get shot.
For selling cigarettes, Gene.
Yeah, the rest of the team quiets down. It's like they have enough respect for Boss Man because
sure.
He's screaming, first of all.
Yeah.
Super intense shit from him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Survivor! My team's a survivor! Hogan, our paths are going to cross again! Do you remember what happened last time? One thing's for sure, I'm going to hurt you bad, leave you laying like the dog you are!
They have a very nice team ethic there.
I like that Akeem's just like jiving. He's shucking and jiving on his way out.
Mm.
Oh, now we get an extended listen to Jive Soul Bro.
Yep. Oh, and of course, the winner of the most awkward entrance here is definitely the Red Rooster coming out to Jive Soul Bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like that in no way, shape or form makes any sense whatsoever.
No.
But let's just bask in the gentle glow of this wonderful piece of art.
Those guys are sort of counting their chickens before they hatch.
The Dustal style mix. Co-captain Akeem.
Well over that 400-pound mark.
I like Gorilla. He actually did an accurate weight there.
Well, he said because, over the 400-pound mark.
Yeah, and he's billed at like 457, I think it was.
Yeah.
Usually, Gorilla is like way overestimating. Like, he's got to be over that 600-pound mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Gorilla Monsoon scale at the grocery store, you know?
The Gorilla Grocery game. Bananas cost 20%. As much as other stores, but when you put it on the scale, it weighs five times as much. Gorilla lived in a different gravitational pull That's why he weighed so much more. He was actually a 325-pound guy. He just lost the gravity lottery.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh, okay. Jassel broke.
Highly unlikely, Jess.
Highly unlikely.
All right. Why the fuck is Terry Taylor, like, riding Heenan to the ring? He's got, like, his hands on, like, his trapezius there. Like, what was that all about?
It's fucking weird. What a weird guy. What a weird situation this is.
I'm convinced that Taylor's push was derailed by this stupid shit he was doing. Like, putting his hands on Ted, catching the money in the middle of that promo when it got thrown in the air and trying to stuff it in his gear.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of shit that'll get you deep pushed. Post haste.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby the Brain with a lot of his family members involved in this
one. Running guard Virgil, the billion dollar man, Ted DiBiase.
Why don't you call him the Stooge Virgil, not the bodyguard, Stooge. Why? Well, because that's what he is.
And co-captain, the Big Boss Man.
There's a handful right there. All on their feet here at the Litchfield Coliseum.
Yeah, you get deep into the song. You get the threw me on the floor in the figure four.
Mm-hmm. I've never even heard that line before.
Oh, you don't watch that YouTube video that is probably racially insensitive?
No, I have. I have before. I don't remember hearing that line of, like, throw me down in the figure four. I don't remember that. I'll have to go back and listen to it again. Break down! Break down!
So let's please note here. Mm-hmm. Let's not lose sight of the fact that the Mega Powers story is ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're coming out to Savage's music.
Good.
Yeah.
As they fucking should be. He's the goddamn champion.
I mean, we graduated from high school here. We've heard this song before.
Yes. I love this robe.
Well, with the robe.
Mm-hmm.
It's the start of Savage being co-opted, like, into using Hogan's color scheme at all times.
Yeah. Well, he was at SummerSlam, too, wasn't he?
Well, there's another important difference to look for, and I will point that out when Hogan comes out. Oh, there's Hillbilly.
Oh.
Hillbilly's such a nice guy.
Thanks for showing up, Jim. Fucking one match he works this year.
Yeah, Hillbilly wasn't doing a lot of TV spots then.
No, he was already an ambassador, for Christ's sakes. Oh, I think I know what the answer is to your thing that you said, the difference.
And what in it is?
It's that Hogan's tights don't say Mega Powers on it, but Savage
exactly.
Says, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's something that the Savage defenders in this storyline could point to and be like, look, clearly Hogan was always looking out for himself. You know, he's talking about Hulkamania has ruled for over four years. Like, oh, mm-hmm. Really? Then why aren't you the world champion?
Well, let's put it
this way. I'll tear off his shirt.
I think I've gone on record, and I think I've said this before at least several times. Hogan is he's the number one heel in this company. He is. Like, it just, no one knows it yet.
Well, yeah.
Everything he does from, like, WrestleMania 3 on is a heelish move. He's a heel.
I mean, that is very definitely like a Johnny Lawrence was the good guy and Karate Kid sort of thought.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about Hogan's character, you think that he would be less trusting of people after the Orndorff thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that, you know, that was a huge deal and famous. And then, of course, Andre. Mm-hmm. And he gets to this point. I mean, he and Orndorff fell out over a goddamn non-answered phone call. It's like he clearly didn't think about Savage's feelings as much as he should have.
No, and to be honest, I would
think go all the way and say he's the full-blown bad guy or anything. I'm just saying that he did not consider his friend's feelings.
Hogan's the bad guy. End of story.
So we got Savage and DiBiase starting the main event, which I believe occurred in three different pay-per-views in 1988. All three of the pay-per-views.
Makes sense.
Four, and of course, they're in the final match. Mm-hmm. I believe the Mega Powers Mega Bucks match starts with... Does it start with... does that start with Savage and Andre? Andre ambushes them.
No, I think it starts with... I think it's DiBiase and Savage.
No. Well, in any event, these two guys were in the only people in the main event of all three. And I'm sorry. Hogan Andre at WrestleMania 4 is not the main... It's no, just the fucking thing that they tried to sell the show on because it was the guaranteed match, you know, that you would get from Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And now Rooster is in there with Hercules in a good old-fashioned Mid-South 85 hootenanny.
Hootenanny.
He just went for a sharpshooter, and Hercules just easily countered it.
By like a punching thumb to the eye.
In the eye. Yeah.
Big Herc's using that power. Oh, and here he is, the Coco.
And here
man.
Comes Coco. In his WWF tights, because he cares very much about the World Wildlife Fund. But
where's
Coco does
Billy Jim?
they're saving him for the end. He's got the tugboat roll.
Ah.
Coco does one move during this match that I wish more guys would do.
Oh, okay.
Now he's in there with the one true king.
I love those tights
too. It's a little weird with like where the white is. Like what he's got, like it's almost like he's got a thigh pad, like he's Ahmed Johnson.
Mm. But it's a crown.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know. But it's kind of odd looking a little bit.
As much as I loved Macho King Randy Savage, I don't think Haku should have ever lost the crown.
No, he didn't, according to you.
Well, he never
did. You don't recognize it.
I don't. He abdicated his throne to Savage, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, this is a shining moment for King Haku. I mean, he's in the main event, and he lasts to the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Hillbilly Jim. And he tore his pectoral muscle.
Here he comes. He's going over the top. What is he, fucking Kevin Nash 2011? Come on.
Yes.
let's give the guy a little bit of credit here. I mean, he was over once, right?
Come on, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's not 1985.
Not as much as... I was going to say, not as much as Cousin Junior. Well, Cousin Luke.
It's not 1985 today, but who knows what tomorrow will bring.
One of the favorites.
Now Hillbilly getting in there. You know the line I'm waiting for here.
Mm-hmm.
Although it actually comes a little bit later.
Right into the knee of Hillbilly Jim. A guy that he started out in the world of professional wrestling.
Unfortunately for all of us.
Those patent leather boots that Hillbilly's got on.
Gorilla and trying to put over the friendship, and Jesse being like, I fucking hate it. Wish he didn't work here.
I just love that Hillbilly Jim didn't fucking show up at all until this event.
Yeah, I mean, how
not
often
on TV at all.
How often did he work a TV squash in 88? I would imagine hardly ever.
Yeah.
Although, like, I always wondered as a kid why he was, like, never around.
Yeah, because he was over his all get out, you know?
Yeah, he would always get. Everybody seemed to like him well enough. He had an LJN figure.
Yeah,
I think he might have had some injuries, but also, as we learned years later, they loved using him as like the ambassador guy.
Yeah,
Titus O'Neil is now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Hillbilly Jim Titus O'Neil comparison that you all have been waiting for. Like the salivating dogs that you are.
The Hillbilly Jim comparison.
What a nice guy that Hillbilly is.
It's so great because you texted me that like, what, yesterday or the day before?
It was this morning. I was like,
this morning?
Yeah, you know, it was like 7:45 this morning. I just texted you, what a nice guy that Hillbilly is. Oh, no, wait, it was the other day because this morning I was very concerned about your gambling.
Yes, you were very concerned. You went, oh boy.
I turn you into a compulsive gambler and I become a pothead. Like, how the fuck did we flip roles here? We did the double turn so much better than the demolition and Powers of Pain. Do I get to give an interview with like Keithy? The Powers of Pain will listen to pot. All right. Getting a little silly here.
Getting a lot silly.
Makes a tag to Coco. Two speedsters in there right now. Power slam.
What a nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, Coco kind of released too soon on the power slam.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a 4.5. And they actually call it out on commentary.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is burying by any means. He's just kind of making the point.
Yeah.
And here's the Coco move that I love so much, where Taylor reverses the cross-quarter whip.
Mm-hmm.
Corner's not going to work for you. He picked him out with that head fake.
Whoa,
Oh, the head fake? Like he was going to come back with that? I think I may have seen Jacques Rougeau do that move, too. Mm-hmm. But Coco does the head fake. He falls for it. And then he just goes up to the top and does that Coco missile dropkick that's among the best of the business.
Yeah.
Oh, mwah.
Mwah. Chef's kiss. Mwah.
I mean, I'm glad Coco was wearing the WWF tights. I thought that this might be Mid-South, just based on the guys in the ring. That's probably why he did it. He's like, all right, I got to remember, I'm in WWF. I have to work to the hard camera. I shouldn't call DiBiase, you know, by his regular name or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, don't call him Terry. His name is Red now.
He gave the sign for the Ghostbuster, but instead went for the cover.
Whoa! And the Rooster.
It would have been funny if Coco had gone for the Ghostbuster, and pinned Taylor with it, because that's another. It's like Honky with the Shake, Rattle, and Roll. It's like how many guys did Coco beat who was any sort of name with that? I mean. It's a goddamn brain buster. Probably nobody wanted to go up for it.
Yeah.
And now we get another gorilla moment from this match that I enjoy and worship.
Hulkster and the Rooster.
Hulkster and the Rooster.
Never to be said again.
Yeah, is this got to be the only crossover with Hogan and Terry Taylor ever?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, was Taylor ever in a Rumble? And if he was he ever in the Rumble at the same time as Hogan?
Oh, yeah, in 90. Yeah. I think he was part of that crew that got eliminated really quickly to set up the Hogan Warrior thing.
Oh, yeah.
I love it how they're celebrating like they won the match here.
Well, there's a good chance that at least some of them think that they did.
Mm.
Maybe Hercules and Hillbilly Jim think they did.
So the thing that I was talking about before the match with Taylor and Heenan is how there's like no problems with them, and Taylor just gets run over here.
Yeah,
like he actually gets his ass kicked by like every single guy on the other side except for. I don't know. Did Hercules get an offense on him?
I don't think Hercules did, no.
It was a Coco, Hogan, and then Savage. So he gets to take the big elbow, which didn't hurt Diesel's career at the 93 Survivor Series.
Nope.
For taking the elbow. Yeah. I mean, think of where Diesel was a year after that, and think of where Terry Taylor was a year after this. So,
a tale of two Terrys.
Gorilla and Jesse.
I know his name's not Terry. It's just funny.
Well, Paul. This is another great Gorilla and Jesse sequence because I think Jesse suggests that Hogan would have cheap shot the Rooster, and then they start getting into what they would have done if they were in the match and if they were in Hogan's shoes.
You know, I'm really surprised Hogan got the Rooster. He's got the chance. I would.
I know you would.
So would you.
No, I would.
Oh, Gorilla. I don't see no halo over your head.
Jesse's challenging Gorilla's babyface credentials.
Yeah. That's great.
You know, you wear shades now. Is that because you want to be like me?
No, it's because I want to see you, Jesse.
What a comeback. Like, you wear sunglasses to be like me. I really just want to see.
What the hell's going on? Why is this taking so long?
Well, no, they had to do the thing where Heenan screams at Terry Taylor for two straight minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Slick is very upset with the Red Rooster as well.
Yes, as he should be. The team's right, down by a man now.
Heenan's motivation definitely just that he's embarrassed that his guy went out first and so quickly.
Yeah, but not even that quickly. I mean, there was a couple back and forths.
Yeah, but he didn't get in a lot. I mean, he went for that sharpshooter thing or the, you know, cock of the walk or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And then he basically got his ass beat, like, right after that.
Yeah.
Wait, the one true king.
Wait, what was the name of that move?
the what of the walk?
Cock.
Yeah.
Oh, cock. Okay. The shoes are from Tony.
Cock.
Oh, look at this. Haku.
Yeah, we get a lot of Hogan and Haku in this match.
Yeah, well, he matches up well against Haku.
Yeah, Hercules dancing into his elbow drop.
Yeah.
I think that's the original people's elbow. Hercules.
Yeah, and I think that Hercules liked to dance because why not? I mean, you know, I'm sure he's still singing Jive Soul Bro in his head. You know?
Back suplex by the king, letting all Japan know that if they need a legit tough guy to come over and enforce whatever whim Giant Baba might have, he is the man for the job.
I was going to say, if there's one guy in the world that could take a Noki down. It's Hillbilly Jim.
He's in there with a cane.
The big guy.
Well,
oh, he got caught.
He taps him on the top of his head with his calf.
I can't believe he's still standing.
All right, he goes for a bear hug there. What the fuck? What the fuck, Jim? Seriously.
That's what I'm saying. He's not the smartest guy out there, you know?
Well, actually, when I first looked at it, I was like, is he going for a belly-to-belly suplex?
Fuck?
Yeah, of like a 450-pound guy.
Yeah. In 1988?
Not exactly. Who do you think you are, 1999 Rick Steiner? You're not nearly that crazy, hillbilly.
Highly unlikely.
We know you used to hang out with Uncle Elmer and Cousin Junior, but we know you ain't that crazy.
Cousin Junior.
Hillbilly did it, got jammed into the corner. Another reversal. Oh!
Very awkward sell of the clothesline.
747. Goodbye, Hillbilly.
Hillbilly's done. It's 4-4.
Hillbilly's going back to Mudlick.
Thanks for coming.
Is that his last pay-per-view appearance? I believe it is.
He's not in a Rumble? It isn't. Doesn't he show up in the 90 Rumble? Maybe not.
No, he's barely around in 90.
Mm. God, I don't know if there's anybody on this team Savage would have picked. Like, if Savage had the choice, maybe Hercules, maybe.
Yeah, he endorsed Hercules on the Brother Love Show.
He probably endorsed Hercules because of Hogan. Actually, you know what? No, I think you're right. I think Savage, the only person on this team that Savage wanted was friggin' Hercules.
No, I think he wanted Coco because they were in the first family together for a while, so they knew each other.
Mm. He definitely didn't want Hillbilly Jim, and he probably didn't want Hogan either.
He's like, he put on the Mega Powers tights because he thought Hogan would, and then two-timed him by wearing his regular gear.
Yeah, because Hogan's the ultimate heel. He's showboating and, no, he's hot-dogging and showboating and hot-dogging. So this is grandstanding.
Yeah.
He's grandstanding and hot-dogging.
You know, that dive move by Coco never really worked well for him.
Oh my God, it's like the SD Memorial Charge.
Yeah. Slick is happy because his guys got the first two pins.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're setting up Hogan versus the Boss Man. It's not really blindsiding you if he does it to your face.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, didn't Brother Love basically say, I have security?
Yeah.
And then Hogan came, and then Boss Man and Slick came out, and Hogan jive-sold bro'd them, and then they attack Hogan. This is like trying to get sympathy for a guy who he fucking asked for it. Maybe if Hogan just said, you know what, brother, we'll meet in the ring, and we'll settle this in the ring like men. But no, yeah. Hogan's got to be grandstanding and hot-dogging, and then he gets what he deserves.
Hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if Hogan was the guy that hired Nails to come in and go after Boss Man.
And he does!
No, they developed a mutual respect there.
Hmm.
And Jesse is off on Boss Man's weight by about 100 pounds. There he says, that's 450 pounds he just lifted. Like,
yeah.
The guy's billed at 357.
I wonder if Hogan's back went brrrr and his back broke out body slamming friggin' Boss Man like he did with Andre. Fucking piece of shit.
Well, we got a great move now from the Boss Man coming right up.
All right. Oh, beautiful.
No, it's not the arm spine buster because he doesn't turn him around while doing it. But it's so cool because it's unexpected and out of nowhere. And I don't think I had ever seen Boss Man do that move before.
Mm-hmm.
To Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, it's like D'Lo Brown doing the frog splash on Austin in the 99 Royal Rumble. I'm gonna keep the fucking light on for that spot until the end of time.
Out of nowhere.
D'Lo Brown fucking putting out Stone Cold.
Sure.
In the year of our fucking Lord, 1999.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Maven dropkicking The Undertaker out of the Rumble.
And then being fucking Ron Goldman by Taker immediately after.
Did you watch a documentary on OJ before you called me?
I mentioned Juice Simpson, and now all I can think about is
How he murdered.
Now
those
I can
people.
I could just make OJ jokes all day.
How he murdered those two people.
OJ Simpson, whatever happened there.
God rest his soul.
Well, not his soul.
Not OJ.
You know.
He's not fucking dead.
He's not yet.
Yeah. Your Uncle Juice is a good man.
I'll tell you right now. I know one person that's not going to be allowed at the poker game in heaven. And that's Uncle Juice Simpson. Maybe Lawrence Taylor, but not Uncle Juice.
This is not the last pay-per-view confrontation between Hogan and DiBiase, as we know.
No.
I mean, Rumble 90, he eliminates DiBiase as part of that Red Rooster crowd.
Survivor Series 89, he's going up against DiBiase.
And also, WrestleMania 9.
Yeah, Survivor Series 90 too. In the final match, it's DiBiase Hogan. DiBiase was one of Hogan's like foils, like the entire time that he was there.
Yeah. Yeah, you can immediately heat him up, and he's plausible in the main event because like, oh, he could buy off the ref and win this match.
Yep.
DiBiase's money explains so much stuff that are maybe plot holes.
And he did it so well. Like he plays that character so well. Because not only is DiBiase like such a devious bastard outside the ring, but then when he has to wrestle, he actually knows how to wrestle, you know?
There's nobody I'd rather see in that role. However, there are two other plausible guys that I've heard that, you know, might have been given that gimmick if they had decided to become, you know, wrestlers in the WWF at that time. One of them is Nick Bockwinkel, who was a little bit older, and if you had done that with him maybe 10 years before that, of course it was a different business at that point. And Kurt Hennig as the Million Dollar Man would be a very interesting thing. It'd be a very different character, though. It would be a much more of a cocky millionaire than like an over the top cartoonish evil one, which changes the character in a way where, like, they made DiBiase over-the-top cartoonish in order to make people hate him, because this is America, and we fucking worship our rich celebrities, no matter what awful things they might do.
Yeah. Seriously.
That's true.
Let's just put it this way. Like, you can murder two people, and there'll still be people that will cheer your name.
That thing again? Why are you bringing that up?
I don't know what the hell's wrong with you.
Winston, it's because you brought it up like 8 times earlier in this show. All right, so Hercules, apparently not learning from the 100 consecutive house show match finishes that he lost by engaging with Virgil on the apron, is about to get rolled, his ass rolled up.
Can't turn your back on the action. Scoop from behind. He's out of there.
DiBiase did that move so much that should have been his finisher.
Oh, a roll-up. That really would have been something.
Well, the knee to the back while the person... That, like, would have been a move in WrestleFest. Like, you're fighting DiBiase, Virgil gets up on the ring apron, and then he hits you with the knee, and then he pins you.
So, according to the rules of the Royal Rumble, I mean, of Survivor Series... A guy gets pinned, he rolls out of the ring, there's maybe like a 10-second whatever.
Yep.
Or another guy can jump in the ring and just continue the action right then and there. At this stage here, and I guess I have my kayfabe hat on for this, it's 4-on-2 because the two Twin Towers, DiBiase and Haku, are out there, and it's just Hogan and Savage.
Yeah.
And Savage, absolutely brilliant, sneaking up on DiBiase when he's not looking, and they do a second consecutive roll-up finish, which I have no problem with, because the whole thing kind of protects DiBiase, and it makes Savage look super smart and super savvy.
I like how where you have a pause right now, you can clearly see DiBiase's tan line.
I can see a little Ted crack there. Like, if I was in the right position right now, I could probably drop a pencil straight down, you know, like that Simpsons when dental plan.
Donald Plant.
He's racist.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of there, not paying attention, and he's out of there.
Because you'd have a hard time with it 4-on-2. I mean, I guess you would just have the 2 overpower the 4 eventually. But you get rid of Ted in a safe and sanitary way.
Now, here's a question. Savage used the tights to pull DiBiase down, but does Savage continue to hold the tights while he's pinning him? I say yes.
Oh, do you need me to check that again?
I don't think you can. I don't think you get the angle.
All right, so he pulls him up.
Oh, he's definitely holding the tights. He's absolutely. He's 100% holding the tights. Savage was not above holding tights. As clearly he held Flair's tights. We know he's held tights before.
Well, with Flair, he was completely justified given everything that had happened.
God.
Oh, for Christ's sakes, Vince. Are you going to make me talk about this shit again?
This should have been a main event in every arena in America right here. Savage versus the great King Haku.
Yeah, Savage against King Haku. Yeah, I feel like that would have been... I think they would have won Savage's kind of match, I think. But mm-hmm. I think Haku would definitely hang with him.
Sure.
Like, it wouldn't be Savage Steamboat, because Haku is not... He's not Ricky Steamboat. You just do things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Now I want is Haku versus Randy Savage.
I know, right? Barb never had a problem with Haku or Savage, but he had a problem with Heenan.
Of course, Brad. They were literally the faces of fear. I like the Faces of Fear WCW music. I know I make it sound like that Katie Tungstall song.
I was gonna say it actually sounded. It sounded like you were about to go in the year 2000. Remember that?
Oh, Hogan,
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Oh, what were we gonna say? Hogan won.
Yeah. Hogan did that lazy kick out where he just kind of rolled to one side like he was me getting out of bed hungover or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hogan. Fat piece of shit.
Yeah, you're letting your disdain for Hogan color the show. Not like me and my disdain for Shawn Michaels. That's completely different.
It's completely justified. Look at Akeem. Glorious boots. I love those boots. I love everything about Akeem.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Unless, of course, I just... No, I did not mute myself.
I'm not muted. Can you hear me?
Of course I can.
What happened?
I don't know if I sat on the mute button or not, but...
Oh, so you muted yourself.
No, I don't think I did, because I never saw the red light...
Oh.
On mute.
I never saw it.
Sleeping on the mute button, whatever happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I try to think through this whole show. Were more guys eliminated via DQ or count out, or were more guys pinned? And I say pinned because there were a couple of submissions, and I'm not going to count those. Like Blue Blazer, Danny Davis.
Yeah.
Those are the two submissions. Are there more guys who got DQ'd? Probably not. Just running the math in my head.
Yeah, no. Unless it's equal, but no.
There have been 5 guys eliminated in this match, and all of them were by pinfall.
In this match?
Yes.
Oh.
And Boss Man hits his finisher on Hogan, but doesn't go for the pin.
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have got it anyway. Hogan would have kicked out.
All right, now what the fuck is with Hebner here? Boss Man puts his arms up to, like, just kind of celebrate and be like, yeah, I'm the man. He pulls down his arms, like, Dude, he's not fucking raising his arms in victory. He's gesturing to the crowd. Stop making everything about you, Hebner. Mm-hmm. Christ, the worst thing that fucking happened was that guy has to have a fucking twin. And because he does that one angle, we're stuck with fucking two decades of him afterwards.
Yeah, because that's early.
Anyway,
his
Wonderwall.
Anyway, $4 a pound.
If only we still had Morocco.
If only.
He's crawling with every ounce of energy left and makes the time.
The hot tag to Savage.
Look out. Joaquin comes in.
Hot tag Savage, who's just going after everybody all at once.
Yep, because he knows how to.
And then fucking Slick just hits him with the cane blatantly.
Oh, look at Elizabeth actually saying something. Look at that, Elizabeth trying to do her user manager's license a little bit.
Well, I don't know if you could hear it on the original broadcast. I know the audio's a little bad here, but she said, "Did you see that, motherfucker?" Yeah, that's what she said.
She said, "Motherfucker." Actually, Liz used the N-word.
Oh,
come on.
Really, really, Keith? Come on.
Come on, huh?
Yeah. Well, actually, maybe she did drop a slur there.
Well,
because why else would Slick come over?
Yeah.
And
isn't she from Kentucky? We know that that was like a word used freely down in the mid-south to south.
All right, I am not going to just accuse Elizabeth of being a racist.
Oh.
I'm just suggesting that maybe she yelled a slur, and that's what it said.
Maybe.
Slick's going to manhandle her a little bit because he didn't like what she said.
We'll never know.
They're all dead except Slick.
They're all dead except Slick.
Everyone in this altercation is dead except for Slick.
There
he
goes.
He's got to play hero.
Yep, grandstanding and hot dogging. Good. Good for Akeem and good for Boss Man.
Well, the problem is we don't know who the legal man in the ring is because the camera had cut away long enough.
Oh, it was
to the
Boss
point
Man,
where.
I think.
Yeah, Hebner is counting. And the Twin Towers are going to go in short order. Yeah, Boss Man has been counted out or something.
Boss Man, open,
the Boss Man,
Boss Man,
counted out.
It is very, let's accept the premise that he is the legal man.
Mm-hmm.
He kept Hogan out of the match.
Yeah.
So again, Boss Man's kind of like Andre. Maybe that's why they bonded at SummerSlam 89, being on that same team. And then later at WrestleMania 7, because they were both Survivor Series 88 co-captains who gave themselves up for the good of the team.
Yes. Absolutely.
And then also he gets to beat the shit out of Hogan for good measure.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been funny if he just stayed. Like, why not just stay down there and just keep beating on Hogan? What's that official going to do? What's Tim White going to do? Huh?
Right. Tim White's not going to. I mean, this guy's got a weapon.
Yeah. And Savage is going two on one. Was going two on one there. I guess Haku is now on the apron again. And now Boss Man's going to hit him in the kidneys with the. I mean, this is what's called getting your money's worth for Boss Man. If you've been DQ'd or counted out, you might as well just keep going.
Yep. Now, I love how Akeem just shoved Earl Hebner.
Yeah.
And he finally disqualifies Akeem, but only after him as a legal man hit Savage with the 747.
Yeah. Very strange.
And now they're down a one-on-two.
You have to look closely to see him shove Hebner. It kind of happens in the background, and it's never really mentioned on commentary why he got disqualified.
Now, see, I knew they weren't going to do this because they had the heels win the main event last year. But it would have been awesome if Haku, like, pinned Savage right here, and then Hogan had to, like, somehow get in the ring with the handcuff on. That would have been funny.
Well, he only got that guardrail on it, like, a week ago. He was carrying it around for 5 weeks. But actually, it would be more interesting if Hogan gets counted out,
mm-hmm.
and then Savage is the sole survivor, and yes. then Hogan comes back to celebrate with Savage, and Savage is still has the same look on his face that we're gonna see later of like, what the fuck, dude? Seriously, do you ever let me have a goddamn moment for myself here? I win the fucking title. You got to get in the ring and point. Like you're one of those assholes in 2023 pointing at the goddamn WrestleMania sign.
Mm-hmm.
This end part is a lot shorter than I remember it being.
Yeah.
I remember it being, like, we got, like, 4.5 minutes left of this video.
I mean, do you know the fact that this video goes the whole length of the match?
Like, oh, boy, I am nervous now. Yeah.
No, this is almost over because right here is where, like, I think this is where Savage, I think this is where, like, something happens to Slick, right? Doesn't, like, Hogan clothesline Slick? And then Elizabeth goes and gets the key.
They keep Slick down there for the purposes of the key. The only thing, though, is any fucking cop there would have the key to the handcuffs. You know why? Because every handcuffs has the same key.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing special about it. Why is the referee why is Hebner screaming at Elizabeth? Like, literally, like, one of her guys is handcuffed to the ropes, and she's trying to do something about it, and Hebner is fucking screaming at her. Why? Because remember, we all tuned in this pay-per-view to fucking see Earl Hebner.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where's the keys? Who's got the keys to the cuffs? That's what Elizabeth would like to know. Sure, the Slickster still got him.
Look at
Elizabeth going in his pocket.
She's going after his wallet.
She is not. She's trying to pickpocket Slick. She's got the keys.
It would have been funny if she had lifted his wallet as well.
Yeah.
Oh, for Christ's sakes, Vince, I am not a pickpocket. Why are you always trying to make me look like a skank?
I love how, like, it was like Hogan couldn't take the key from Elizabeth. He needed Elizabeth to open the lock.
Yeah, yeah. Savage giving Haku ultimate respect there. Kicking out, waiting till, like, 2 points and 2 7/8.
Sure.
All right, so there's Hogan. We're at the 2 minute warning now.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is very sad because, you know, Hogan and the One True King. I mean, Hogan's not being paid by the hour. I was hoping Hogan would hold up three fingers again, like that one pay-per-view. I guess it would be WrestleMania 5. He wins the title for a second time and holds up three fingers on both hands. It's like, what is he, fucking Mutant Nixon? It's like he's Chernobyl Nixon. He, like, was going to do the two fingers, but he grew a third one.
Chernobyl Nixon. I'm Keithy. Not a crook.
Keithy?
Yeah.
What has become of me?
Mutant Nixon.
Chernobyl Nixon.
Chernobyl Nixon.
So now you get to say your piece on the game of literal grab ass we're going to have going on here.
Oh, here it comes.
Hogan starts fucking posing without even looking. I mean, yep. I'm sorry. I don't like to reflexively go into the hate Hogan mode. But holy shit, does he look like an asshole here. Just fucking posing with his back to him.
1,000% an asshole. This is the peak of Hogan being a fucking piece of shit. It really is. Because you're right. His
No, it's not. 95 Hogan WCW.
Yeah, that's true. I know.
This isn't even the worst Hogan with Savage in the ring. That's the end of the World War III Battle Royal.
Brother, I need you to hit me with an elbow to wake me up.
Well, all right. Yeah. Well, that was also 95. Can we agree 95 Hogan's worse than 88 Hogan by any objective standard?
Yeah.
Yeah. The cucking of Randy Savage will continue until morale improves.
All right, in my opinion, the worst Hogan years are 95, 88, and then 93 when he wins the title and then doesn't defend it.
That is
he wrestles on the house show circuit and fucking matches against Money Inc. He's the fucking champion.
All right, so Liz is checking on Randy.
Yep. Randy. And
Hogan's posing.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan's going to go to side two now. Mm-hmm. Continue his posing.
Yep.
Liz is still helping, but you could barely get to his feet at this point.
Savage is like, why is my music not playing? I'm the champion.
And now,
here it comes.
She's going over to Hogan to say, look, oh, for Christ's sakes, Hulk, can you stop your fucking egomaniac posing? My husband, yeah, I know, I said husband. We're actually married in real life. Could you at least come over and pretend like you give a shit about your alleged best friend?
For Christ's sakes, Hulk, can you come over and help me? Savage can barely stand. Randy can barely stand. And here we go. Hogan's about to sexually assault Liz. Ready?
A tremendous beating at the end of this one. Oh, look at the hug here. What a big hug for Elizabeth.
Okay. I watch Hogan's hand like a hawk on that one. He mm-hmm. does keep it north of the equator.
He does. No, I think
he does not drop his hand down to the Tropic of Capricorn. He doesn't cop a cheap feel. He doesn't try to finger blast Elizabeth in front of a pay-per-view audience. None of that stuff's going on. However, it is extremely inappropriate.
Well, I think what really pissed Savage off right here is that he finally sees Hogan's ass and realizes it doesn't say Mega Powers on it. And Savage just turns and looks at the camera and goes, what the fuck?
This is Savage's Uncle Junior moment.
What the fuck?
Exactly. He's looking at Hogan's ass.
What kind of likeness is that?
Exactly. Somebody opposite hard camera took a flash picture of what's going on there, and holy shit, I hope that guy still has that photo, because that I would pay for that photo.
The Mega Powers. The Mega Powers. Yeah. You know what that is? It's a fucking nickname.
The Mega Powers. Whatever happened there?
It's a fucking nickname.
All right, so Savage's what the fuck mannerisms are just
blowing up right now.
It's not only restaurant quality. It's fucking Michelin star shit going on. Yeah.
Savage getting his hand raised. What a tremendous event this has been.
He just looks pissed the entire time, and he's pointing. He's pointing at him like he's like he's that monkey from Family Guy.
Yeah. And the best part is Hogan's so oblivious to it. He has no idea that he just friggin' cheated on Linda with fucking Elizabeth in front of Randy Savage. He basically pulled the Bubba the Love Sponge thing like several years earlier.
He was oblivious with the Orndorff thing as well. Look, the Andre thing, I'm going to give him a pass. I'm going to give Hogan a pass on that. But the Orndorff thing, that happened because he fucking blew him off and was oblivious towards Orndorff's feelings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Didn't pick up on the fact that Orndorff was that week before the turn when Orndorff worked the entire match against, I think it was the Moondogs, in order to prove a point. Like, hey, Hulk, pick up on some of the fucking social cues, all right?
Nope, he doesn't have to.
Yeah. But I do like your idea that Savage only now saw Hogan's trunks. It's like, come on! And Savage is still looking, he's got like palm to the sky, like, what just happened here?
He's very confused. Confused? There's a man from another galaxy. Oh, we got even, yeah, the reap. Like, they can't even go and cut to letting Savage's music play at the second go-around. Nope, we got to go right back to fucking Hogan again. Piece of shit.
Would you like a mashup of Real American and Pomp and Circumstance?
I want Savage to get the proper respect that he deserves.
Hmm. We're all about proper respect for all the guys in that match. At least two out of the last three guys, you are all about proper respect for them. But anyway, you know, Randy Savage died 12 years ago, and I often think about, like, you know, with some of these guys, especially with Heenan, like, it would have been awesome if they had lived long enough to be able to do a podcast, like, in this era where you know, all the Conrad stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think Savage would have done one. I don't know. It just doesn't sound like something he would have done.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's put it this way. He friggin' recorded a rap album and still called and was talking shit about Hogan on a rap album well after Kayfabe had been killed.
And I don't think that Savage was so desperate for, like, the limelight as some of the other guys are. I mean, how many friggin' podcasts has Flair had at this point?
That's the thing. Well, not only podcasts, but, like, Flair still wrestling. Like, Savage was retired and had been retired for a number of years and really wasn't doing anything. You know, yeah, I think when he showed up in TNA, that was like, you know, that was kind of the embarrassment there. You know, like, he didn't really want to, I'm sure he didn't really want to be in there or whatever. And then, and then the next thing you know, like, he's retired and he's remarried and he's living the best life he can down in Florida. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, you know.
Oh, do you know Steve Kern wrote a book?
It is sad when they go young like that.
When they go?
Yeah.
Did you write that letter to Kern yet?
Well, now that
I'll take it from your... Mr. Langston, your silence will only incriminate you further.
Mr. Langston, no!
Dramatization may not happen. Yeah.
I mean, it looks like Steve Kern wrote a book. Now this gives me a perfect opportunity to get the book and send that to be signed. here we go. This is gonna happen. I know. Right. I'm so bad. I'm gonna have
I think when was the first time you promised you were gonna write a letter to Steve Kern? I think it was when we did Wrestling's Country Boys in our Coliseum video series.
No, it was after, like, the hurricane that hit. What was that hurricane that just hit last year?
Oh, shit. I don't remember hurricane names.
Sally or something like that. I don't know. But and I noticed it hit like it hit like Tampa. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, he lives in Tampa. So that's why I was really scared. I thought something had happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll write the fucking letter.
Oh, well, Robin, you've said it all.
Well, Robin, you've said it all. Nice. Don't you tell me I've said it all.
We got down, we got up, we got funky, and we got bad.
We sure did. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. This was great. I'm glad we did this in four sections. Like, it made it seem so much more fun, you know? We got to break it down. We got to go through it. We got to, you know, explore everything. Aren't you happy?
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad that I feel like we did not leave anything on the table with this.
No, we certainly did not.
And I mean, I think we're going to be. I'd rather have four podcasts of like an hour and a half rather than one 6 or 7 hour podcast.
For Christ's sakes, Pete.
Like it just makes a difference in terms of, all right, well, if you want to listen to, you know, only this match, well, you know, we got it broken out by match here.
Mm-hmm. You
know, of course, the first one was a little short, but that's okay. We made up for it. We made up for it talking about the Conquistadors' miracle run to the Final Four as a number 15 seed.
You know, I will tell you, though, rewatching this, I can't see why this is your favorite, like one of your favorite things of all time. I mean, it's a fucking great show. It really is. All the matches are fucking great. Hmm. You know, I really do. I really appreciate this like so much more now because it's a great pay-per-view. It really is. Like, there's not a bad match in the whole bunch. You know? Mm.
I just realized I've lost every bet that I placed today.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah. Well, so let us not talk about gambling.
Let's not talk about gambling.
Yeah.
And I dropped my phone like a while ago, so I don't know where it is. I can't even check my bets.
It's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, the next thing we're gonna do is We definitely have to do Dusty getting the spike on the TBS show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll check in with World Championship Wrestling / the NWA for a week because, you know, see how the wicker furniture is holding up.
Mm-hmm. Get a little palate cleanser.
Is everybody going to be mentioning Dusty? Because you know they're not going to be able to mention him for much longer.
No.
Yeah. And then the question is, do we go back and do another lead up to another pay-per-view, or do we just keep going towards 89?
Hmm. I mean, it's a good question.
These are all things that I think about from time to time. The idea that I had was to start at January 1, 1987 and go up to 3.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh well.
But we could also just continue going until 5.
We could burn that bridge when we get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like you've used a little bit of a mixed metaphor on that, but that's okay.
The one of the best mixed metaphors is it's in like one of the Ocean's movies. I forget which one, but it's what's his name? Jimmy Kahn's kid, Scott Kahn. He goes, I offered you an olive basket. I just love he says an olive basket.
It sounds like a brainless second from The Sopranos.
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
The propane and the obscene. My father always said, a gallon of gold is worth more than a pint of blood.
It gets 300 hectares in a single tank of kerosene. Put it in H.
What was the country that the car was from?
It no longer exists. Which I would assume to mean Yugoslavia at that point.
It gets how many hectares?
What, 300 hectares to a single tank of kerosene? Yeah.
Put it in H.
Well, thank you for joining me. And peek behind the curtain. We recorded this on a weeknight, which we very rarely do.
Very rare.
And
yes.
Very rare. And this will be coming out in a couple of days. Like it'll probably come out, you know, when I've already left the house on Saturday.
Oh, good. So. Oh and, yeah, and then, you're off to Vegas, right?
I am, and then we can come back maybe on the second. Who knows? I mean that's the second day of Mania.
Yeah.
But you know, let's you know, we shall see. But
we shall.
Again, thank you very much for tolerating me through this, even during my hyperactivity disorder that was the third podcast of these four. And please, if you've enjoyed it as much as I have, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever fine podcast reviews are accepted, because it provides was no social proof. Although, as we know,
you don't ever admit the existence of this thing.
Exactly.
No. Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely appreciated. I'm on Twitter at GF Allentown Pod. Keithy's on Twitter at Flounder824.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that you did a, I believe, PTB jukebox on The Reason by Hoobastank.
Don't ask. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I'm all over that pop video jukebox song of the day. You should check it out. We're actually going to be doing a theme week soon on, you'll get a kick out of this, on songs commonly used in wrestling, and and an ironic twist, the one I did is I cover Enter Sandman by Metallica, which of course, as you know, is used as the theme song for the one and only Sandman.
Given your distaste for him in prior, we did do a couple of ECW episodes, and you disliked the Sandman vehemently.
Yes, so that's why I chose it, because I said, "Oh, that's a riot." I said I got to do Enter Sandman so that I can talk about how there's a guy that uses this who I don't like at all. So there you go.
I think I'm going to chalk that up to the fact that you did not attend an original ECW show.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that if you had gotten to experience Sandman's entrance live, it would have.
Okay. Mm.
He had an entrance as ostentatious as Edwin Diaz of the Mets. The only difference is that Sandman never fucking blew out his knee, even though he was drunk at all times.
Yes.
All times. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's wrap this up. It's getting late.
All right. Well, once good again, luck. God bless.
I'll check in with you. I'm going to call you and complain about something. I don't know what. I'll complain about it.
Please.
Thank you all for listening. And tune in next time for another exciting edition of GFA Live.
Turn that off.